Hi, I'm Doug Gordon. Welcome back to Beta from Wisconsin Public Radio. If you were going to create a Mount Rushmore of the greatest advice columnists of all time, who would you include? Maybe Ann Landers, her sister Abigail Van Buren, Cheryl Strayed, the writer behind Dear Sugar? Well, if you're willing to take my advice, you saw what I did there, right? I would recommend my fellow Canadian, Brandy Jensen. Over the last few years, she has established a reputation as a witty, smart, empathetic source of wise advice on her Twitter feed. Now she has parlayed that into a column called Ask a F Up. Well, it's not actually called that, but I think you can figure out the real name. The concept is simple. Brandy is hoping others can learn from her life mistakes. She first developed the column for the now-defunct online publication The Outline, but more recently it was picked up by Gawker's Jezebel. We zoomed in with Brandy in her home in New Orleans to find out about her journey from social media manager to modern-day sage.
I moved to New York and I got my first social media job just based off of my Twitter that I had managed to gain a lot of Twitter followers. I guess they figured that I would be good at doing it professionally. So I started out doing social media, and then once I was working in media, this is my second media job at The Outline, I floated the idea that maybe I could try to be an editor because, you know, I have a background as an English major. And so I thought that editing might be something that I would be good at. And they were, my bosses there were good enough to let me try it. And it turns out that I liked it a lot. And so, yeah, it all just kind of came together without like a whole lot of planning or forethought on my part. Just kind of stumbled into the career I have, which I think is often the way it goes for people, despite, you know, when you're younger, you assume that you're going to have some sort of, 10-point plan for how your life is going to turn out. And then it just looks nothing like what you thought it would.
Yeah, exactly. You've really built a strong Twitter brand for yourself. How would you describe your Twitter voice?
Oh, my Twitter voice is just my voice. It really is. That's also something that, you know, didn't involve a whole lot of planning or forethought. I just kind of tweet whatever pops into my head, really. And for whatever reason, you know, other people seem to like it. But yeah, I wouldn't say that there's a whole lot of distance between, you know, my Twitter voice and just me.
Yeah, which probably explains why you're so popular on Twitter, because you're being authentic. You're being yourself. Yeah. You've said that you think in tweets. Can you explain that?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's sort of, there are a lot of horrible ways that technology, I think, is kind of rewiring our brains. And one of them for me is that I'll have an opinion about something that's going on, you know, some current event, and it'll just kind of like occur to me in the cadence and the syntax of a tweet. Like I'll automatically try to kind of narrow it down to like, what is the most basic, the most fundamental way that I could express this thought, which I think Twitter is really good at, just because of the, you know, the limit on length. It's good at forcing you to kind of whittle down all the extraneous elements of what you want to communicate and just get it really down to basics. And that can be a good skill to have as a writer. You know, if you can think in tweets, then you can often write something that is very easy to share, because you can include, you know, a couple of good, short, pithy sentences that kind of really get at the heart of what you're trying to say. I think that makes what you're writing a lot easier for people to share.
Mm-hmm. Brevity is the soul of wit. And especially in this attention economy in which we find ourselves, you've parlayed your Twitter content and brand into your advice column, Ask a F Up. Why did you decide to launch an advice column, and where did you come up with this angle for it?
Well, again, that wasn't really a plan. It was a joke. I tweeted a joke that I thought it would be funny if somebody gave me an advice column called Ask a F Up, just kind of based on the premise that I make all these mistakes in my life, and I've constantly had to start over and try again. And, you know, I have a lot of regrets for my 20s. And so I thought it would be funny if somebody gave me advice column based on the premise that, like, I haven't really managed to learn a lot from my mistakes, but maybe somebody else can.
Yeah.
And then my boss, the editor at The Outline at the time, sent me a message on Slack and was like, you should do this. We want you to do this. And so that's how it got started. I wasn't really sure how long it would last. I wasn't sure something that would be good or that people would be interested in. But, you know, I've been doing it now for a couple of years. And when the Outline, where it used to run, where I used to work, when the Outline folded, the lovely people at Jezebel picked it up. And so it's there now. And yeah, it's been nice to have something kind of consistent to do. You know, I write it on a schedule and it's something that I do every 2 weeks. And especially this year when everything, the ground beneath you feels very uncertain, it's nice to have kind of a regular obligation to fulfill.
Mm-hmm, for sure. As a self-professed F-up, do you think you're more qualified to give advice because you've made more mistakes?
Well, that's certainly the premise of the column. I mean, I don't know that anybody is particularly qualified to give advice, because I don't think that when people write into an advice column, they're necessarily looking for advice. I think more often what they're looking for is permission or validation. And I think certainly a self-described F-up is more qualified to give someone permission, although I don't often do that. The lessons that I have learned tend to err on the side of asking more of yourself than asking less of yourself. So,
mm-hmm. Right. That makes perfect sense. Yeah. Were you a fan of the advice column format before you started writing your own advice column?
I read a lot of Dear Sugar, who is, you know, I think sort of the gold standard in advice columnist. But because I was such a fan of what she did, I sort of intentionally said, okay, I'm not going to try to do that because I'm not going to be as good as she was at it. I'm not going to, you know, use the advice column format as a way to write personal essays. That's not something that I was really interested in. And so I think of my advice column as a little bit more practical. Mm-hmm. Which I think is might go some way to explaining why it's, you know, become popular insofar as it has. That I think that there is, especially in the last few years, right, that there's so our political and our economic lives that have been kind of upturned and that feel precarious. I think that there is definitely a need out there to think about sort of practical ethics, like how is it that we ought to behave? What is permissible? What do we owe each other? How do we like live in a society with each other? I think people are kind of returning to more basic questions like that. And so I think that there's a lot of room for a column that, you know, takes a little bit more of a practical approach to it.
Mm-hmm. These days, it seems certainly over the last few years that stigmas, especially about things like mental health, seem to be gone and people are more forthcoming and open in the online life of social media. Does that present certain challenges to you? This TMI thing, is that something that makes it kind of difficult to choose which letters to respond to?
So it's obviously good that the stigmas around mental health have been lifted, right? I'm
Yes.
somebody who suffers from chronic depression. I've talked very openly about my own mental health issues. And so without question, it's good that those stigmas have been lifted. However, I don't know that we have quite gotten to the stage where we're really ready to like address the mental health crisis in this country. And, you know, there's only so much that an advice column or even a therapist can do when, especially, you know, in the US, when there's so many people don't have access to mental health care, so much depression and anxiety is wrapped up in economic precarity. So I think one of the challenges is that I can, you know, I'll often sort of imply or outright say to people who tell me, you know, they're depressed and anxious, of course you are. Of course you're depressed and anxious. You know, you don't have healthcare. You lost your job. You can't pay rent. You know, there's no social safety net in this country to give you any sense that you might be okay. It's very difficult to feel like the future is going to be better for younger people. And so, yes, it's, you know, it's good that we are able to talk about mental health issues. I would like to get to the point where we start making demands about how the government can address mental health issues.
Mm-hmm. Very well said. Yes, yes. You recently wrote a column that I found to be especially poignant. It was from a reader who thought they were responsible for their father's suicide, and you handled that their question with incredible compassion, grace, and tact. I'm curious if you hold this up as an example of the best advice you've given.
That is definitely for sure a column that I am extremely proud of, maybe the one that I'm most proud of, definitely the one that I felt the most responsibility in tackling. I was almost like, I almost didn't want to publish the question. I think with her, like, I do occasionally get questions that I will answer, like I'll email the person back, even if I don't publish, because I just feel like, you know, this person has asked me for help and there's a clear, urgent need to say something to them. So yes, I felt a great deal of responsibility. I felt a lot of apprehension about if I would mess it up. It's very easy to meet somebody's kind of like raw grief or suffering with a sort of empty platitudes, and I think that often can make it worse. So I didn't want to make it worse. So yeah, I definitely, that's one that I was pleased that, you know, a couple of friends of mine who have had loved ones die by suicide said that it was a good answer. And so that was sort of all the reassurance I needed. And then I actually hear back from the letter writer.
Ah.
Yes.
Yeah, I was going to ask you that, but I thought that wouldn't, I wasn't sure if that was okay to do, but oh, that's great. Yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yes, I did. Yeah. I did hear back, and she did say that it, you know, she found it helpful, which is, you know, all I can ever hope for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. If Library of America, you know, or some publisher were ever to release, you know, the best advice columns of all time, I think that one for sure would be in there. Yeah. As you mentioned earlier, your advice column originally was published by The Outline, an online publication. But after it folded, your column was immediately picked up by Jezebel, which is a website featuring news and cultural commentary designed for women. Has the kind of advice you've been asked for changed since you've switched platforms?
It has a little bit, yeah. So the Jezebel has a larger readership than The Outline. So it's the column in that sense that I think I probably get a wider range of questions. I do tend to get the gender split is much more skewed at Jezebel, which I suppose I could have anticipated. Jezebel is, you know, ostensibly a site for questions from women. It used to be about 50-50 when I was at The Outline, or at least insofar as I could tell from email names. You know, sometimes people create a burner to send a question to an advice columnist. So it can be kind of difficult to discern gender sometimes. But I got a lot more men writing to me when it was at The Outline. And I would encourage men to continue writing to me, even though it's at Jezebel. I don't think that would be any reason why I wouldn't be happy to field a problem from a man.
Mm-hmm. Does having to deal with all of these requests for advice from people who are struggling with these various problems, does that take a psychic toll on you?
I think it does take a bit of a psychic toll, but I also think that it's very helpful for me to feel like I'm doing something useful. And so an advice column, I think, is a very concrete way for me to feel like I'm doing something good for others, or at least trying to.
Yeah, yeah. I'm curious about what's next for you. I think maybe perhaps a dog advice column that you would ghostwrite for Gracie and Walter Doggins. Is that a possibility?
Well, I think, I don't know. My dogs aren't very good at taking my advice.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how good I am at that. Currently, one of them currently has something in his mouth, and I'm not sure what it is. And my advice would be to get that out of your mouth, but I don't think he's going to listen to me.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the future would be, you know, more writing, and yeah, try to get a job with healthcare. It's really kind of a simple vision of the future. Like I said, I learned long ago that coming up with elaborate plans for myself is just a great way to like look back and laugh later when nothing goes the way you thought it would.
Exactly, yeah. Brandi Jensen, thank you very much.
Thank you so much.
Brandi Jensen is a writer, editor, and the creator of the advice column, Ask a F Up. Find out more at wpr.org/beta. Well, that does it for this edition of Beta. Thanks to our guests, George Saunders, Taylor Morden, Zeke Cam, and Brandy Jensen. If you want to hear it again or binge on past episodes, subscribe to the Beta Podcast. It's available to follow on Spotify or wherever you catch your favorite pods. And make sure to let us know what you think by leaving a rating or a comment. You can keep up with us during the week online at wpr.org/beta or on Twitter at @WPRBeta.
Even for the internet, it's pretty shocking.
Beta is a production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Red Meat Productions.
Fantastic!
Our music and technical director is Steve Gotcher.
Same guy. Time-proof, weatherproof.
Our executive producer is Adam Friedrich.
For a man who appears to be clever, you can certainly act like an idiot.
And thanks to you, our alphas. We'll see you next week. I'm Doug Gordon.
I never found out much listening to myself.